a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dujanovic.
Senator Mitt Romney calling into the show. Andrew Hull, our producer, picked up the phone. He got in my ear and said, oh, I accidentally just zapped the phone for some reason, and it clicked off. So he's calling Senator Mitt Romney back right now, trying to get him on the line.
Static electricity is always to blame.
But Senator Romney has been in the news so much this week that we definitely wanted to make sure we had an opportunity to bring him on the show before the week ended.
Yes, this is going to be a very important conversation. I guess any publicity is good publicity. So I guess this big fight with the president is great news for Senator Mitt Romney. Senator, I guess I'm trying to be glass half full here.
How are you, Dave? Good to talk with you and Debbie this morning.
Well, thanks for joining us. Senator, you've been very critical as of late of the president's decision to pull U.S. troops out of Syria. You've taken to Twitter. I think you've discussed it publicly. And now we've got Turkish forces reportedly advancing into northern Syria. Kurds were our chief ally against ISIS. Do you think the president should reverse course on his decision?
Oh, I think he made a mistaken decision in this regard, and I think you've seen virtual unanimity on both sides of the aisle. Republicans and Democrats have all said this was a terrible mistake. And some of the people closest to the president, like Lindsey Graham and the former ambassador to the United Nations, this is, I think, a real error. And it's not a question of whether we want to have a peacekeeping force in Syria or not. Although that's in part is in the back of our minds, but the real question is: do you abandon your ally, the Kurds, to being attacked and killed? And that just goes beyond the line, I think, for many of us.
Yeah, it's been incredible for me, Senator, how united everyone has been. It feels like this is more than any time in this presidency when the president is really all alone.
Yeah, I think that's right. It's very hard to understand what would have led to his decision. There was really no discussion with people in the Senate to understand his perspective, whether it was on our committee, which deals with the Middle East, or whether it was his close associate, Lindsey Graham. This came as a surprise to everyone. And the reaction is you can't just take the 150 people who've been providing peace and keeping the Turks from slaughtering the Kurds, you can't just pull them out without any warning to our friends, the Kurds even, so they can get out of the way. I mean, it's really a very puzzling development, and one, obviously, we're calling for hearings to understand just what has gone on here and why we have done something which will go down in the annals of American history as having been a terrible abandonment of our friends.
Senator, it's strange, though, that such a small group 150 or so soldiers being removed would make such an impact. How did that happen with such a small group?
It's very interesting, which is, you know, in places around the world, we have small numbers of troops. We place them in hot spots, whether that's going to be in Poland or whether it's in South Korea. We place them in various areas so that we say to hostile people, you can't go here without attacking the United States of America. And if you attack the United States of America, we will respond. And the president has just done that in Saudi Arabia, for instance. He sent troops into Saudi Arabia so that it'll keep the Iranians from bombing Saudi Arabia, as they recently did. So, you know, our strength as a nation and our commitment to our friends has always been something which has kept the world more peaceful than it otherwise would have been. And that's why I think this is so jarring to many who have watched foreign affairs for a long time.
Senator Mitt Romney on the line with us live this morning. Senator, I want to turn the conversation over to the impeachment inquiry. The White House has pushed back, told the House Dems it won't comply with its inquiry. Where do you stand on the president's decision on that?
Well, the House has the authority to decide how to proceed with regards to an impeachment effort. They will follow whatever course they think is right, and the White House will have to follow the course it thinks is right, and it's going to be a back and forth. I'm not going to try and weigh who's got the better position here, but ultimately the House will have to make its decision. And then, if you will, the trial phase comes to the Senate. And at that point, there will be a process that allows all sides to be heard, and the Senate will have to decide. And I think those of us that are in the Senate are being pretty careful at this point not to prejudge, but to wait until the House does its work.
I've been interested to look at the way this is playing out with the impeachment inquiry. It feels inevitable that it's going to end up in the Senate because the impeachment it can be voted straight down party lines and the president can be impeached. What I'm afraid of is no matter what they find politically, the Democrats seem to need this win, if nothing more than just to be able to say we impeached him and then the Senate dropped the ball.
I can't tell you how the politics will play out. I can tell you that Nancy Pelosi, as you recall, was very much opposed to proceeding toward impeachment or even having an investigation about impeachment. And she's a pretty strong force in the Democratic Party in the House. And she said, look, we're not going to impeach. And then with the transcript of the president's call to Prime Minister Zelensky of Ukraine, that changed for her. And in addition, the public request of China to investigate Biden, that put it over the line for her. And she pretty much had to, at that stage, begin an impeachment inquiry. And so whether they actually call for impeachment or not, I don't know. But you are right, it will go to the Senate. And in order to actually remove a president, it does require a two-thirds vote of the Senate. And that means a highly bipartisan decision.
Senator, you and the president had me following Twitter all weekend and into the better part of this week. I'm not a big Twitter fan, but I couldn't help but ignore your tweets back and forth, it seemed like. At least you called out the president on his public call for Ukraine and China to investigate the Bidens. You called it wrong and appalling. And then the president went after you on Twitter, calling you pompous and a fool and other things. I wonder, did you have any sort of personal reaction to that, or is that just, do you just ignore his tweets?
Well, I must admit criticism launched at me. If it were successful in riling me, I'd be in the wrong business. you know, you have to lay out the places where you have concerns. And as a elected public official, I have concerns about certain policy matters, and I'll point them out when I think the president's right. I point that out when I think he's wrong. I point that out. And I think it was wrong. I don't think there's much question about this, that most people who've commented on it have said it was not the right thing for the president to call upon a foreign government to investigate his political opponent. That was simply wrong, the wrong thing to do. And I pointed that out. But, you know, the president's going to come back and do what he has to do. But I don't give that a lot of attention. I just spend some more time with my grandkids. And I'm happy that life is as full and joyful as it is.
Your relationship with the president has been a roller coaster. There seems times when you're at each other and then some reconciliation. Does this feel like these other times, or do you think this has damaged a relationship forever?
You know, I don't end up with feelings about a person. But for me, when there are disagreements, I don't feel that the individual I disagree with is somehow a bad person. I just feel that we have different points of view. And I will point out when I think things are mistakes or where things are good, but I still have the respect associated with any other human being. So, you know, I don't want to be disrespectful or be filled with enmity of some kind. That's just the nature of my relationship. You know, when I see the president, we're friendly and say hello to each other. And are collegial, and we typically agree on most issues. I think I saw a story in the Deseret News this morning that said I voted with the president almost 80% of the time, and which is more than most other senators, I think. And yet there are places where we'll disagree, and I hope people hope that I would express my points of view when I think they're better for the people of Utah and for the country. And by the way, the decision to pull out of Syria, in the way that was done, just moving 150 troops away from our friends and allies, that I think is a pretty clear mistake. And, you know, you need to point that out.
Senator, I know you're on your way. I believe it's up to Primary Children's, if I'm not mistaken, to discuss anti-vaping efforts. You know, as you probably have heard, the Utah Department of Health announced that we've had our first confirmed vape-related death here in the state. There was a man under the age of 30 who passed away. They announced that yesterday. I know you've talked about a recall and the FDA recalling some vape products. Where does that stand right now? Is there anything in the works in that regard?
I did meet with the head of the FDA and did express my strong viewpoint that these products ought to be recalled until their effectiveness is able to be tested. What we learned is that the great majority, almost 90% of the people who are becoming sick from these vaping products, have not only been vaping, but they've also refilled the vaping cartridge with various contaminants, including THC and other products that cut the THC. And it appears that these contaminants may be the problem. And that's why I propose legislation saying that going forward, these vaping products should come with cartridges that cannot be refilled, because it appears that this refilling is what is leading to almost all of the sicknesses and the deaths. But this is a very dangerous setting, and I believe the FDA should move with all due haste to protect the American people.
Senator Mitt Romney, thank you so much for taking the time and joining us today on the Dave and Dujanovic Show.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.